You've worked in Juba in South Sudan for the last 3 years, and before that, were deeply involved in different initiatives, even before South Sudan's independence referendum. What roles have women played in peace building at the local and national level since South Sudan's independence?
South Sudan women have been very, very involved in the peace process in South Sudan. They were a very big part of the negotiations on the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. They were at the table and they managed to negotiate for a 30% affirmative action for women. But they went on also to mobilize women for the referendum. And that particular referendum was actually really decided by women because they came out in large numbers and they voted for a new country. After that, the South Sudanese women also continue to engage on the constitution-making process. Now they have women who are now sitting on the committee on the discussions on the new constitution.
After the recent outbreak of conflict, a group of South Sudanese women came together to call for greater representation of women in civil society in the current peace negotiations in Ethiopia. How can they gain a larger role?
Well, the outbreak of the war in South Sudan was a real big jolt and I think very unfortunate occurrence. First of all, because so many women have actually died, so many of them got displaced, so many of them lost their children, and women have basically had enough because they bear the brunt of conflict when it happens. But on the other hand, also women are very, very strong. If you look at South Sudanese women over the years, they are the ones who really supported this war, despite all the challenges that they felt, that they experienced. And that is why women mobilized and decided that they needed to be in the peace process in Addis Ababa. They needed to share the experience that they have been going through because of the war. But more importantly, they needed to make sure that their interests are actually on the table and are actually included in the outcome of the peace process. South Sudanese women, of course, can gain a larger role by articulating their message and actually getting space within the peace process to be able to put their perspectives forward.
According to UN Women's statistics, women are just 7% of delegates to peace negotiations, 4% of signatories to peace agreements, and 2% of chief mediators. Why does their representation at the peace table remain so low, and what can be done about it?
I think one of the biggest problems has been the whole definition around parties to conflict. A lot of times, women are not identified as parties to conflict. But the truth is, women are part and parcel of these communities. Some of them actually do have a role to play in some of this conflict, but this is not recognized. The other problem also has been that peace processes and peace negotiations have been seen very much in a male domain. And so women have normally not been accorded that space. But I think one other issue is, do women have the skills to become engaged as mediators? And this is one of the areas that we really need to work with. The statistics from the UN are actually very telling because the truth is we do not have many women mediators. We need to build these skills. We need to support women to engage in the peace processes. We need to support them to be able to develop their messages. We need to work with them to build their confidence and build their skills as mediators. Mediation takes skills, you know. So there's mediation, there's negotiation, there's communication. These are skills that women need. But more importantly, they need the space to be on the table. That space has not been opened up, but we need to really work to have these spaces opened up. One of the things that we could do actually is lobby the donor countries that actually fund these peace processes within the countries. One of the stipulations we could actually push for, and we should actually push for, is there has to be a certain quota that is put aside for women at the negotiation table. For peace processes and for women to get involved, there needs to be very clear, specific numbers that are defined for women to participate in. And if that this does not happen, I think our donor countries should not fund the processes.
Your work with CordAid supports women peace leaders on the local and international level. How can international institutions like the UN be more responsive to local women who are building peace, driving reconciliation, and preventing conflict in their communities?
I think I would like to first of all start by commending the UN. I think the UN has done quite a lot, and especially with coming up with resolutions like Resolution 1325. This gives an opportunity for women's voices to be heard. It gives an opportunity for women to really look at their environment and their situations and come up with national action plans that can enable them to address the issues that they are facing. One of the ways that the UN and actually international organizations and civil society can be more responsive to local women in peace building is to just giving them support, giving them the voice and the recognition. A lot of times there's a lot that women do in country, but this sometimes does not get emulated. So they need to be given the space, they need to be given the voice. In terms of also preventing conflict in their communities, there are lots of women who are doing this already. There are lots of women who are engaged in peace building, driving reconciliation, also preventing conflict in their communities. They need support. We also need to be able to nurture women leaders, because when we have more women who are taking up leadership positions, when we have more women who are actually participating in the political sphere, and as a result also in the peace processes, we will begin to see a different type of engagement that is going on. So the issues around inclusion, the issues around women's participation, the issues around enabling women to really get into the governance sphere is actually very important. And the UN is very well placed to do this, especially because of the UN, of course, has all these member states, so they can be held accountable for supporting women in these processes.
The 58th Commission on the Status of Women, happening at the UN this week, focuses on the Millennium Development Goals and the post-2015 development agenda for women and girls. How are peace and conflict, economic development, and women's leadership linked?
They are very much linked. Peace, economic development, and women leadership are very much linked. Women often say, women cannot eat peace. And this is really true. It's great to have peace, but then also economic development is very, very much a part of it. An empowered woman, a woman who can put food on her table, a woman who can have access to health, access to agriculture and rights to land, that's a very different woman. This kind of woman will ensure that her children get educated, you know, will start asking questions about the type of education her children are getting. This type of woman will probably want to also promote her own education. And so economic development is very, very important. If you look around the world, women are actually the mainstay of many societies. So they're involved in economic development anyway. The problem has been that a lot of times this is not recognized and it's not even included in the calculation of the GDP of so many countries. This needs to happen because it's a recognition that women are actually contributing to the economies of this country. I think this whole question of redefining what we mean by leadership, and especially in relation to women's leadership, is very, very important, because sometimes it's defined within the sphere of just politics, but then there are so many women who are doing amazing things in their lives. You can think of a woman who is maybe a single head of household, has had to raise 8 children, and maybe the only livelihood she has is frying fish by the roadside. And this woman goes on to educate her 8 children. Some of them become lawyers, doctors, politicians. Surely that's a woman leader. And so we need to be able to have a definition that encourages women to really be the best that they can in everything that they do, because for me, that is leadership. A woman who's engaged with her parents, teachers, association, that's a woman leader. So we need to encourage women to stand up and take up leadership positions in every sphere of their lives. We need to create space for them to engage in political participation, because the more women we actually get in the legislature, this is where laws are made. the more we will begin to see friendlier environment for women to engage in. So all these three are actually very much linked.